One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace Radio, I think we come to one of the most important subjects that I have ever dealt with on the radio. Something that I have to say is so important for the life of sanctification and understanding the design of the Christian life. We're going to look at the great passage on love in 1 Corinthians 13. Often this is ripped out of context. Often it's not appreciated in its proper context, so it loses its beauty and power that was intended for us as we look at this great teaching on love. We could have a lot of things. We could have all knowledge, have the greatest minds, the greatest abilities to speak. And if there's no love, says Paul, we're nothing. We've got to deal with that. What a great passage. I'm looking forward to airing today on Abounding Grace Radio and tomorrow, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace. As always, we want to direct you to visit the website at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. And again, you can call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Here is the program now, Abounding Grace Radio, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The greatest of these is love.
We come tonight to one of the most beautiful passages in the New Testament. In fact, it's such a masterpiece in the midst of what has been a book of conflict after conflict after conflict. It is regarded from a literary perspective as one of the greatest passages that Paul ever penned. I mean, the beauty of what I just read, which makes a pastor feel like if you say anything by way of explanation, you might wreck its beauty. One writer once said, too much analysis will detract from its beauty and its power. I believe that's right. If you listen to it, you really do feel that this is the key passage having to do with sanctification. Remember, this was said at the beginning of the book that he emphasized the need for sanctification in the church of Corinth. And you really do come to sort of the great passage of sanctification here that deals with that subject tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The challenge is, and I assume this because this is what I've experienced most of my life in hearing this passage, it's a wedding passage, it's a love passage for a wedding, is that generally it's ripped out of its context and the applications are abused so that it loses its real effect that should really be there in our hearts and our lives as we think about this text and apply this great text. It's only appreciated and rightly understood in the context to which God gave it. And I hope by now you've understood the problem in Corinth. It's a big problem. In the last chapter, chapter 12, Paul has been dealing with gifts. And you'll remember he said something in verse 31 of the last chapter. He said, but earnestly desire the best gifts. and I will show you a still more excellent way. The difficult there is to read it as an imperative or an indicative. The forms aren't so clear. It could read, but you desire the higher gifts. You desire the best gifts, but I've got a more excellent way for you. And that sure captures the context, doesn't it? This is where all your desire is. You guys want to be something. You want to be great. But let me show you a far more excellent way. Your hearts are set on this, but let me show you something that's actually far greater. Let me show you something that pales in comparison to everything that you are after now. Let me show you something so much greater. Everything else pales in comparison. Let all of your activity and your service be controlled by this. By this. What has Paul been dealing with in this church? Well, he's been dealing with a lot of division. He's been dealing with problem after problem. He's been dealing with what they saw as super pastors, great pastors. They were after the pastor that gave them the greatest experience. They had a worldly view of ministry. It was all about feelings dominated. It wasn't about the truth. It wasn't about the foolishness of the message preached. It was about the show. They wanted a show. They wouldn't discipline. There was no discipline in this church. They refused to do it. There were abuses at the Lord's table. There were nothing but divisions. In chapter 8, he introduced a real problem that their knowledge was puffing them up. All of their understanding and convictions were being used to wound the consciences of others. And then we looked at the gifts. Their eyes were all on those who could speak in tongues. Wow. Those who could do the miracles. Those who could do the real wow gifts. The extraordinary gifts were being used to promote them. Those who could do the greatest gifts received the greatest approbation and praise from men. And everybody wanted to be like that. Everybody secretly envied that. And the whole body was suffering. We've looked at this. The whole body was suffering from this because they didn't understand that God fits together a body. God fits together a church. And he gives everyone specific gifts. And they are important for the whole. When gifts are treated as we do in our world, like a rock star mentality, the whole body suffers as the lesser gifts in their eyes are undervalued and not used. What a tragedy. Paul kept saying, Paul was making the point that gifts should be used for the common good of the body. I can't emphasize that enough. Common good. And last time we looked at those supernatural gifts, those extraordinary gifts, he tied to extraordinary offices of the apostles and the prophets. And then he says, but now, since you are all desiring those things, I actually have a better and more excellent way for you. Here's the question. What was, in all of our study in these past months of Corinthians, what was the real problem in this church? I believe you can answer that by chapter 13. In many ways, the real problem exposed in the life of Corinth could be addressed right here. What was it? A church without love. A church without love. They had turned inward. And everything was about their own interests, and their attitude that dominated Corinth. What this all exposed was a very selfish attitude, and there was no love being promoted for one another. And that's what Paul's explaining. Paul's explaining that without love, nothing we do in the life of the church, nothing in our service is having the right effect. It doesn't really matter. This passage is designed to function as a test of our motivations in our service and convictions in the body. It's a test chapter. And so it really does help us tonight to look at this from these two sort of angles: conduct, what conduct without love looks like, and what conduct with love looks like. That seems to be the simplest outline tonight. Conduct, what conduct without love looks like, and what conduct with love looks like. The passage really does provide for us a biblical definition and understanding of true love. And I suppose it's important always to clear away all the baggage that surrounds this word love. How many times have we heard the Beatles song, "All We Need Is Love"? And that's not the kind of love the Bible's talking about, let me tell you. It seems to be the principal subject of all songs today you turn on the radio, that we just need love. Love is what we had. If we just had love, society would function correctly. To which I answer, well, it depends on how you understand and define love. From a biblical view, love has nothing to do with a sort of way that the world applies the use of love. When people talk about love today, we know this. We know this. It's sentimental and it's completely feeling driven. It really is just sheer emotion and feeling when we talk about love. In most cases, love is used as a romantic way, and that has even been pushed into the church in many of our songs, that Jesus is spoken of as we love him romantically, which is totally improper. But that's the way it's typically used, unfortunately. That kind of word in the scriptures is found, that word for love, when it talks about sexual love or intimate love in that kind of way, is the word eros, where we get this understanding of sexual love. You have other uses of the word love. Of course, you've probably heard all this at a wedding. Philos, which means a sharing love, and it expresses a sort of affection that we have for one another as brothers and sisters and family. Family. Common attractions. That kind of love. The word that we're running up against tonight is the word you all know a lot and have heard about. It's the word agape. A giving love. A love which promotes, really, the best way to define it is a sacrificial love. For the benefit of the other person. It doesn't have your own interests in mind. This love is giving rather than getting. It's emphasized all over the scriptures. 1 John 4 even speaks of it here and says, God is love, using that very word, agape. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. True Christian character evidenced by this kind of love. Why? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." He taught you this. You didn't learn it anywhere else. You've not come to understand love apart in this way from him. It's what Jesus spoke of. By this you will all know, and this is the gems tonight, what we read. You'll all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What Jesus was saying is, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. In other words, he was making it very clear that I have come now and given this command because I've shown you ultimately what the love of God looks like. I've demonstrated that love. I've taught you that love. How did he teach us that love? The Father did not spare his own Son, and the Son gave up his life for us. John 16, the Father himself loves you. I've always been amazed by that. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me. We all know it's one thing to say we love, but to demonstrate that love looks a lot like the kind of sacrificial love. We have been taught, when we read in the scriptures, while you were enemies, Christ died for you. That's love. Or John 13, having loved his own, he loved them to completion. He loved them to the end. And what did he do right after that? He gets up and he drops, he transforms himself, if you will, by girding himself and putting on a towel and gets on his feet and washes his knees and washes his disciples' feet. A slave did that. The Lord of glory got on his knees and did that. You've been taught it. You know it. It satisfies your souls. That's why we come to worship, to hear about that love. Christ's love was a selfless love. He denied himself. He promoted others' interests. He put the lives of others before his. He loved when he was hated. He gave when he was scorned. He provided when he was despised. He sacrificed when no one asked. That's your God. You're taught by God to love. That's not sentimental. It's not an armchair love. It's a love in action. Now back to Corinth. What does Paul use here as the greatest manner of exaggeration? What he does is use the greatest manner of exaggeration to emphasize the value of love in the body of Christ. Greatest amount of exaggeration. And he uses, I came up with three categories here you could summarize from the text. The greatest voice, the greatest mind, and the greatest giver. The greatest voice, the greatest mind, and the greatest giver. Look at it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Keep in mind in Corinth that tongue speaking was seen as the pinnacle, the real height of all the best gifts. Paul starts, if I was able to use the tongues of angels when I spoke, if I had the greatest preaching voice, if I had the greatest communicative abilities ever given to a man, remember, Paul was criticized for not being able to speak very well. The church was caught up in all the excellency of speech as the place where God was really communicating in the oratory skills of the speaker. If I had all that, if I was the greatest orator that ever existed, if I was Golden Mouth Chrysostom, that's what he was called, the great preacher in the early church. They called him Golden Mouth because he was so effective. If I was so eloquent that I sounded like the best piece of musical instrumentation you have ever heard, but have not love, I'm nothing. You ever heard a gong? Ever heard a clanging cymbal? He uses something here to describe the worst sound that could ever come out. I won't try to make the worst sound ever tonight. That's what you are. You have no effect in people's lives at all. All of your eloquence, all of your fine speaking, you have no effect. You are no prophet, even if you have the greatest golden mouth. Then Paul does something else. The greatest mind. A beautiful mind. If I could prophesy, in other words, if I have the ability to put together the scriptures so that everyone says, wow, that guy can really bring it home. Then Paul kicks the sacred cow, as one pastor called it, knowledge. In the early church, knowledge was everything. If you have read all the fathers in Latin, if you've collected the best of the best and put them in there, You've done so much reading. Oh, man. You've got so much understanding, let me tell you. You can understand all the mysteries of the faith. You can put it all together for people. If you've got faith itself, this is talking about the great strength of being able to communicate all this and demonstrate that kind of confidence. If you've obtained being the best theologian ever to exist, if you appear strong to everyone so as to move mountains, you say, what a pillar in the faith, a fountain of wisdom and faith and knowledge, a beautiful mind, but have not love, you're worthless. What about the greatest giver ever? If you gave all your goods to feed the poor, you stepped up to martyrdom. You offered your body to go to martyrdom and to be burned by the fire. You said, I'm willing to give my life for this. I'll be a martyr. But have not love, you're nothing. Greatest voice, greatest mind, greatest giver. Are you getting the point? You had all these people in Corinth. Remember, context is so important here. You had all these people in Corinth doing marvelous things, speaking in tongues, trying to value all the greatest, what they thought, highest gifts. The church was all caught up with this stuff to their own hurt. Why? There was no love in it. Gifts are for the common good, says Paul. But what's demonstrated in Corinth is, and think about the massive problem in the church today, what's demonstrated in Corinth is it was all about them. Their speech, their knowledge, their service, it was selfish. These sad fruits had the sad effects, and it proved of no love in the life of the body, but nothing but schism and fighting and hatred and jealousies and contentions. Look at the fruit we've been studying in this church over and over and over and over. And the basic point here being that when the church is functioning as it should with gifts, when things are happening and a church is a well-oiled machine, love is being promoted in that place. When it's not, you get all this stuff. This is the sad fruit of no love. Factions, pride, people puffed up, spiritual superheroes, no love. And you see, all of this, Paul is explaining to them to say, whatever you're given is for somebody else. That's the key to this whole thing. Whatever you are given in the body is for, it's designed for someone else. So what was the problem? It was not, and I have to say this tonight, because I typically hear this passage abused as if knowledge is wrong, as if giving is wrong. Typically, knowledge is the one that's hit. As if knowledge is some bad thing. It's not knowledge that's a bad thing. You all should be reading out of the library a lot. Should be checking out a lot more than we are. That's not the problem. It's understanding the application and why we have that. And it's in the application. If you have the ability to be a great orator and you're a great speaker, and you're trying to promote the greatness of that gift among the body, and the people are all caught up in that, you know something terribly tragic has happened? It's no longer about you. It's about me or about any preacher up here. It's not about that. Whatever gift he gives a preacher or whatever gift he gives an orator is for you. It's for you. The ministry is about the people. There's no love when we're focused on men's abilities. If we have perfect doctrine, if we're Puritan precisionists, if we can parse to a T, if we know all the Hebrew and Greek with knowledge, why do you think you have that? That's wonderful. You've got it to be a blessing to everyone else around you. It was a gift given for you to help others, not prove your correctness. But when it becomes about the rightness of it all, divorced from the blessing of that beautiful mind to help others in the struggle, it has profited you nothing.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news. It's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.